This morning's morning devotion is from Psalms 119, verse 113 to 128. And we have Dr. H.K. sharing with us this morning. So we've come to section 15, or paragraph 15 and 16 of Psalms 119. So the 15th paragraph is the Samech. So we can see that if you times 15 by 8, so the verse will finish at 120. Because every paragraph is 8 verses. So at the end of the 15th paragraph, it's on verse 120. And from 121 to 128, it's the 16th paragraph. In the 16th paragraph, is the paragraph of Ayin. Now, Ayin means I. We can see from verse 121, 122, 103, they can see that my eyes fail. Because I'm looking for your salvation, looking for your righteous promise. Now, in the paragraph of Ayin, it doesn't just talk about eyes. And then in a moment, we'll come back to it. So let's see the paragraph of Samech. Now, Samech in the original Hebrew, it's pronounced like the S sound. But this S letter, in the Hebrew, there's two of them. One of them is Samech, as in paragraph 15. Another one is in the 21st one, called Zin. They also have the sound of the S. So what does the letter Samech means? It means to uplift or to help. So we look at verses 116, 117, we can see uphold. Sustain me, uphold me. The meaning of Samech means uphold. So when I look at these eight verses, what was the central thinking that joined them together? I believe it's the first verse of 15 paragraphs. So verse 113 is very clear. It says, I hate double-minded people, but I love your law. So it's talking about love and hate. This verse in the original Hebrew only has four characters. It only has four words. It's that he love and that he hate. What I love and what I hate. Now what do I hate? Double-minded people. What do I love? Your law. The current calendar in English is more than four words, but in the original Hebrew, that's only four words. I love your law. That's two words. I hate double-minded people. That's another two words. So, and the development of these paragraphs is like this. First, they talk about the topic. I love your law, but I hate double-minded people. And then the next seven verses will expand on this direction. So we talk about the conclusion first. And then we spend seven verses to support this idea. And then in paragraph 16. In verse 127, 128. You notice that it begins with because. You can say this paragraph concludes with a double because. So it means the previous six verses is preparing for the conclusion at the last two verses. What is the conclusion? The conclusion is, I love your commands more than gold, more than pure gold. Before they said about something, verse 127, because I love your commands more than gold, more than pure gold. 128, again it says because. And because I consider all your precepts right, I hate every wrong path. So it means that he lay out what he wanted to say. And then it comes to his conclusion. And his conclusion is that I love your commands more than gold. So you can see that the development of these two paragraphs is different. Paragraph 15 firstly talk about his conclusion and then expand on it. Is that I love your law, but I hate double-minded people. But in paragraph 16, you first lay out your reasons and then you come to your conclusion. So this has six verses. And then in 127, it says, because I love your commands more than gold. And then again, repeat in 108, and because. And verse 127 is the conclusion of paragraph 16, that I love your commands more than gold. If we look at paragraph 15 and 16, we can see that the author is expressing his deep love for the law, for the word of God. So the topic I give for paragraph 15 and 16, I don't know whether you could have guessed, is very simple. I love the law of the Lord. So in paragraph 15, how does he love the law of the Lord? It shows that it's very clear what he hates and what he loves. If we just say we love something, but we can't express that we hate its opposite, then this love is very limited. The author really loves the law of the Lord. To a point that he will hate those who are opposite of what the law of the Lord requires. Paragraph 16, it's also, I love the law of the Lord. I love it to the point. So 127, I love your commands more than pure gold. So this is the topic for paragraph 16. Love your commands more than pure gold. And the topic for paragraph 15 is to be clear about what you love and hate in regards to the law of the Lord. So verse 113, I hate double-minded people, but I love your Lord. In Psalms 119, it keeps on talking about I and you. So it's the relationship between the author and the Lord is very close. He's not meditating on God's law from a distance. But he closely connects his life with the Lord. Every time we talk about, every verse we talk about you and I. And very rarely do we read Psalms. And we read it like you and I, and this closely connected, like inseparable. You can say the author is very serious about this. It's very involved. So we are at 15th paragraph of Psalms 119. So I ask myself, is my life that closely connected with God? Am I that involved with His law? Do I love more and more of God's law? To a point that I love it so much I would hate double-minded people? Now what is double-minded people? Now double-minded people doesn't mean that they don't love the commands of the Lord. But outside of the Lord of the Lord, they have other things they love. This is double-minded people. That on one hand, they love the law of the Lord. But outside of it, there are many things that they love. Then the authors say that I hate these people. They do not love the law of the Lord wholeheartedly. This expression, we can reflect a lot upon this. Because outside of the law of the Lord, are there many things that I love? Now, all of us do. I love my face. I love honor. I love people looking upon me with favor. I love many things. Maybe I love my car. Some people say I love wine. I love the feeling of getting drunk. I love to listen to songs from certain singers. When they have new songs that come out, I'll pursue it. I'll chase after it. Of course, now I have the law of the Lord too. I have the law of the Lord. And I do love it. A little bit. I love it. But I didn't love it with all my heart and soul. In my ranking, it might come in the 19th or 39th. But it is not the first. But to the author, he says, I can't allow this. The law of the Lord must be priority number one. It's what I love the most. It's what I love with all I have. In contrast, those double-minded people, I despise them. Then would you think that this person is very legalistic? Well, he actually isn't. Through loving the law, he shows, he expresses his love to God. The Lord of the Lord is the way to return to this way to love God. Now this is correcting a concept during the Reformation that is rather weak. In the 16th century, during the Reformation, now there's a very famous reformist, a Swiss person, called Siwane. He said, what is Reformation? It's to return to the Word of God. Return to the Word of God. So to leave the thinking of exalting the traditions that has been built up over 15th century. God's word has a higher priority than religious tradition. So we need to have a reformation to put God's word first. So their slogan is to return to the word. But I feel that returning to the Word is not the final stage. Because Word itself is not our goal. Through the Word we return to God is our goal. Why would I say there's this kind of correction? Because I was once in the analysis as a Bible college point of view to study the Bible. Now I feel really delighted by this. During my studies, I can look at different scholars, how they interpret the word. So I love reading these kind of books where people explain the Bible. But these is replacing God with the word. And sometimes the evangelical churches might also do the same. We say the evangelistic church, we say that we put the Bible first. But sometimes we put the Bible at even a higher priority than God. Say today I read the scripture. I can ask myself a question. Did I, as a result of reading the scripture, that my love to God is more? Then I know whether I love the verses or do I love God. Why would there be a sense of superiority in the evangelical church? Because they exalt the Bible. But God doesn't want us to exalt His word more than our love for Him. But if we don't read the word of God, we can't get to God. So we must adjust whether we are seeing that the process is our goal or the destination is our goal. If we haven't reached the destination, we've just got on the bus. This bus is called evangelical. This public transport is called the Word of God. If I got on the bus, then I'll be satisfied. But we don't know where the destination is. Then I'll still be very lost. God is to lead us, the word is to lead us to God. To love the Bible is very important. But to love God through the Bible, it's the destination. Then it means I've reached it. Have any of us reached it? No, we are all in a process. But you just know that you're on the right bus. If the bus is heading towards the ending stop. So the offer, it's clear about what he loves and hates when it comes to the love of the law of the Lord. Jesus have a similar expression. What does it mean, love me? Jesus say that if anyone does not hate their parents, then they don't love me. This is kind of an extreme way of saying it, but if the love does not reflect what you hate, then this love is hard to express. Before, what I love, before, now because of Jesus, become what I hate. Or else you won't be able to express the depths or your determination of your love. How does Paul express this? Paul say, before what I treasure, and now I see them as dung. It's this kind of extreme. Then you can show how deeply do you love the Lord. And paragraph 15 expressed how he delights and have a passion for God's law and God's word. If we don't have this extreme contrast, I still can't say how much I love God. Now verses 114 to 120, how does he express his love for the law of the Lord? Verse 114, it says, your law is my refuge and my shield. My child, hide behind his Lord. Let God carry all our burdens, or everything. You are my refuge. You are my shield. You block them for me. Now, in contrast to hiding in the Lord, what does he hate? Verse 115. Away from me, evildoers. Verses 118. Those whose delusions come to nothing. Reject them. Reject them. Like discarding tons. He's drawing closer to God. What does he stay away from? In verse 115, the evildoers. In verse 118, all who reject it and stay away from your decrees. And verses 119, all the wicked. So those who stray from your decrees doesn't mean they don't have their decrees. They do have the law of the Lord. But the way they act is strayed. He doesn't walk in the way of the Lord. If you ask them, whether you believe in the Bible, they say yes. If you ask him, do you read the Bible? Yes. But his action and his character is strayed from the law. So the office say that, stay away, evildoers and these people. And God, you reject them too. Their delusions will come to nothing. They are like dross. But I love your law. So now we understand how clearly the love and hate of the offer. He is not saying that I have read the Bible, that I too have the Word of God. But through God's Word, I continue to remain in God, to take refuge in God, and to say to God, you are my shield. Now, verse 120 is a small summary. How do I know I love the Word of God to such an extreme? Wholeheartedly. It says, my flesh trembles in fear of you. I stand in awe of your laws. When we love God's law like this, we know that we can't love. If God is to do, give a comment. He would have said that you have done 80% or 30%. But God doesn't stop there. You've done 20%. But I still love you. This is our God. If we know we've only done 20%, can we still stand firm before the Lord and tell him that we love you? We will be scared. He is talking about the trembling of the flesh. So I did some research online. Oh, circumstances where people's flesh tremble. The simplest thing is when you're doing push-up. If we do it very rarely, you notice that your body starts to shake after a few reps. And some little girls are very scared. When they cry, the whole body will tremble. If we have a low blood sugar. Sometimes when those people get hungry, their body will tremble. The author says, this is how he is like when he's facing God. My flesh trembles in fear of you. But to today's people, we have a good news. No matter how much I love God's law, no matter how much I can obey it, how much I can keep it, God will still say that you are my beloved children. Now, the offer doesn't know Jesus yet. But if it does, Jesus would have said that you are my beloved too. My grace is also upon you. Now, but that doesn't mean that we will just then let ourselves go and just maybe love the law half-heartedly. We love some and hate some. Now, the author is saying that make it clearly what you love and hate about the law. So every morning when we come to morning devotion, do we love God's word more? Do you love His word more than the first day you become a co-worker? Or are we simply treating this like a chore? Now, once we've done it, we can put it down like homework A, and then we'll carry on with homework B and homework C. We know in primary school, there are a lot of homework. Every day, there are 7 to 8 different kinds of homework. Now, will we feel like that after we've done task number one, then we can go on to task number two? We just want to get it done quickly and over with so we can let go of it. But the offer says that I love your law. I made it very clear what I love and hate about your law. And it becomes, and this is paragraph 15. Now paragraph 16, ayin, the word means I. So he says, my eyes fail, looking for your salvation, looking for your righteous promise. So his eyes failed. We can see that he is very serious about pursuing the word of God, God's righteous word. But this paragraph, from the paragraph in section 15, is the same. What they're expressing is that they must love the word of God. To a point, he loved God's law to a point that his eyes begin to fail him. If we've been to the Western Wall in Jerusalem, now people didn't just lay hands on the wall and pray. For the Jewish people, they will have a book in their hand. When they pray, they will shake their body, and their scripture is really small. Even their writing is really small. The Hebrew writing is very small. That they have to be shaking their head, and then they are moving their body and trying to read these little words. Really, their eyes will fail them. But that's how serious they are. Now, how can we see in this paragraph that the offer really loves God more than gold? Verse 121, I've done what is righteous and just. Do not leave me to my oppressors. He preached and he walks in it. He have done righteous and fair. And the offer asks God to not desert me. Verse 122, ensure your servant's well-being, do not let the arrogant oppress me. Both of these verses talk about do not let people to oppress me. And in the first paragraph, first verse is say I've done what is right and just, but he knows that he can't do it fully. He tries his best, but he cannot completely hold, keep, and keep the law. So he say,
Ensure your servant's well-being.
So he has done his part.
His part is to do what is righteous and just.
But he will ask God to do his part.
God, be my covering. Be my protection.
Be my support. So that I may benefit. It's very clear that when we walk in the Lord of the law, we will try our best. But there will be times that we're lacking in strength. So the offers say, carry me, be a covering for me. Do not let the arrogant oppress me. Oppress is to point out what they cannot do, what they haven't done. And then they oppress him. Now when we speak of righteous and just, now in 611, we're a church that talks about authority and submission. Sometimes we might hear some opposing voices that my authority doesn't love me, or that I can't trust that my authority loves me. And when we have become the authority, we feel that we are the most just and righteous. How come there's still so many complaints? How come those I serve under me feel that I'm not just and fair? And the offer say, God, Lord, may you support this burden from me. When we are beneath others, we always think that they're not fair enough. We feel that they're not righteous enough. And we can see that in reality, it is like this. We must put down our imagination and fantasy of our authority. They have done well, but it doesn't mean they're perfect. They are not perfect as if God is perfect. Sometimes when we feel we're treated unfairly, we must still treat our authority fairly, because they are just humans. They try their best. They also act in righteousness and justice, but it doesn't mean that they are perfect or complete. We must take away these myths and also pray for our authority. So we as servants, firstly, we must do well to look after what is given to us, the portion that is given to us. We must act righteously and just. People is like this. Now, we are not fair enough. But our demands for others is for them to be righteous and fair and treat us like that. So we are unfair, but we must be a servant. We must try to treat people just and fair. Because people is people. Do not try to turn them and become like God. Do not see them like God. In the world, there's no perfect church, but there's perfect Jesus. His blood is a covering for us. So if you feel like this church is unfair, and you go to another church, any church is unfair. Isn't it? Or if it's because that you have been angered, you feel like you can't continue, you go to another church. No authority of a church is perfect. You will still feel that you've been treated unfairly. So we must be fair to ourselves. To our authority more healthier. We're just people. We just need to try our best. Verse 124 says, deal with your servant according to your love. If this servant is so perfect, then he would not need to ask God to deal with your servant according to your love. There's a lot of things that we really
really Heaven Rich, we need God's love to cover, be my covering. Verse 125, I'm your servant, give me discernment, that I may understand your statutes. This discernment is very important. Sometimes we feel like we've kept the law. We felt that we really loved the Lord, the Word of God. But sometimes we make conclusions too quickly. Sometimes we don't fully understand and we've taken the wrong side. Remember in 611, in our core values, in the history of our core values, there was an event that had taken place. Because something has happened, so we give birth to these core values. At the time, there were some heretics. Now, Pastor Joshua and Seymour, they want to protect the daughter, the co-workers. The spiritual babies. Now, she wants to be covering for them. Some co-workers will feel that this is very unfair, how you do this. And it's no truth. How can you let a divorced person be a co-worker and continue to serve at the church? So there are some plants that they are. Sometimes when we do not have that discernment, we try to make a choice to stand with some people, but we might make the wrong choice. And we think we're keeping the Word of God. And we think we have the love of God with the righteousness of God, but we are not. We really need that discernment. So we just don't look at God's Word on the surface. We need to know the statutes of the Lord. We must stand at the right spot. Verses 126. When the Lord act, then now is the time. Because some people have broken your law. He said, Lord, now is the time for you to act. This is now the time for punishment. Originally, it's for when you do things. Because some people ignore your law. They have rejected your law. Now, we're going to think about the enemies of the offer. And not those who do not believe in God. Not those who do not have the law. They have it. But they are double-minded. They have it. But only on the surface. The way they act and live their life have no regards to God's law. If we try to take some examples from the Bible, we'll consider the priest Eli. During his time, God's word is very few. Because they can't listen to it. The sons of Eli, they serve in the temple. Do they know God? They know God. They say they know. But the way they act and they live their life, they have rejected God's law and ignored it. Because they do not delight in God's law. And they do not love it more than pure gold. Then what did his two sons do in the temple? They did a lot of unlawful thing. When people bring their meat for God, and then they poke it with a fork and take it for themselves.
Or they will commit adultery with the women who come to the temple. Now, does this mean that they've rejected God's law? Now, these people on the surface, they appear to have the Lord. This is what the offer hates. Again, let me say, we're not talking about non-Christians in this, when we're talking about here. Nor are we referring to those people who do not know God. But those who know God but do not keep His command. We see a lot of these people. But we're not here to despise them. Everyone is at a different stage. Everyone needs to grow. I'm saying we have the law of God. That we say we have the law of God. To loving the Lord of God. To loving the Lord of God like we love gold. This is a process. May God help us like this. So the second because in verse 128. And because I consider all your precepts right, I hate every wrong path. Verse 128, that hate. And the hate in verse 113 is the same hate word. They hate and they love. So the topic for this morning devotion, I give it as, we love the law of the Lord. We must be clear about what we love and what we hate. May God bless His word.